And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a special Friday edition. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. I'm on the road right now. I probably sound a little bit different, not in the studio with the professional mic. No video for this particular podcast. We're going to do an Instruction Friday, as I've been, I've been slammed. I tell you, now that we're past this election, thank God, and we're kind of getting back to, you know, just living our normal lives, and consumer confidence, I think is picking up a little bit, and phone is ringing, emails coming in. Yeah, it's great. Love it. Golf is flying, at least from the amateur standpoint. I mean, here in Florida right now, I mean, it's, forget about trying to get a tee time right now. I mean, the weather's, you know, in the mid-70s, just perfect out, maybe a little jacket in the morning, warms up nicely. Yeah, it's a Friday here, and you're going to try to get a tee time on the weekend right now anywhere. I mean, yeah, good luck with that. I mean, golf is just booming right now, which is awesome. And a lot of people coming into the studio, and you know, the message is really much the same as people come in. The message is, yeah, you know, I've played golf for quite some time, and I've plateaued. My ball striking has plateaued, or if anything, I'm getting worse over the last couple years. You know, you'll get the occasional player coming in who, you know, has taken some lessons, you know, in the past, and they have their reasons on maybe why those didn't work. And they're looking to move the needle the right direction as well. And when you really evaluate the student that's coming in, the first thing to understand is that this is only about 15% of the actual golf population from an amateur standpoint that is going to show up on a lesson team, that is going to invest in a private lesson, whether it's in person or online. That number might be a little bit bigger now with, you know, online lessons, which I do via the Skills app, and you can check that out on my website, travisfultongolf.com. So maybe it's closer to 18% or 20%, but it's, you know, I don't think it's any more than 20%. Now, the other 80%, you know, they want to get better too, and they consume it different ways, whether it's YouTube or, you know, through golf magazines, the internet, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of information out there. And I've said many times, if you follow me on my platforms, and you listen to me here on the Stripe Show Podcast, you know, one of the main keys in getting better is not only getting good information, but putting it in the right order. And there's a lot of good information out there. You know, you can consume a lot of great information. I mean, just about every top teacher has some kind of social media account. You can read their work in Golf Digest or Golf Magazine, some of them on the Golf Channel, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I've done all those things over the years, and it's great. And you can, you know, you can start to reach that other 80%. And it's a lot of great information. You know, what you don't get is you don't really necessarily get the right order. And I think that's where individual lessons, and I think where teachers start to kind of separate themselves and the success that they have, is the order in which they start putting things in for each particular student. And I think that is one of the most important things that I can do as a teacher, is to be able to look at a golf swing, to be able to listen to a student, to be able to understand their ball flight, to be able to understand where they're hitting it on the club face, and be able to look at them and say, hey, this is why these things are happening, and here is what we're going to do to move you away from some of those misses and to improve the probability of impact. And that's really the way I look at it. I look at it from, you know, especially from an amateur point of view. You know, how can we improve the probability of impact? You know, what are you doing at address? What are you doing in the backswing? What are you doing on the downswing? And then as a result of that, what's happening at impact? What's happening at post-impact? How can we improve the probability of impact so we can start to elevate the ceiling and start to improve your skill set? And so when you teach, as I have for 25 years, you've seen a lot of golf swings. You've talked to a lot of students. I think my niche and where, you know, one of my strengths as a teacher is working with the amateur golfer and developing very common patterns that I see. There are common patterns. There are common faults that occur. And when I see those faults and I see those patterns, I can predict to, you know, pretty close on what impact is going to look like, what level of ball striking that's going to suggest, what the ball flight's going to be, and probably within a point or two, what your handicap is going to be. Now, I know short game and putting, you know, factors into that, but you get pretty good at it. Like, you get pretty good at saying, all right, here's your pattern, and I can kind of predict to some pretty close to the degree of what your level of ball striking is going to be and what your skill set's going to be, what your strengths and weaknesses are probably going to be. And so I feel like I've, you know, become pretty good at identifying those patterns, those flaws, and giving people the right information, putting it in the right order to develop those patterns and to fix those flaws and to improve the probability of impact. Now, one of those patterns that I see a lot, and I bet you of the 8 or 9 new students that I've seen this week, 6 of them had this pattern. And this is a pattern that, you know, recently over the last week, I see posted in social or on social media, various platforms. I see this pattern posted as an example of a professional golfer that has this pattern and has played at a very high level and has won PGA Tour events and has won LPGA Tour events. Just about every pattern in golf, every club face angle, every swing shape, every pivot, you know, you can kind of go to every component and you can find an example where it has worked at a very high level. The pattern that I'm speaking to is an inside takeaway where the club head gets behind the hands early and then the downswing comes over the top, let's call it, right? It comes down steeper or over the top of where it went back. Imagine that you take it back and the club shaft is parallel to the ground. An inside takeaway is when the club head is behind the hands early. So when the club shaft gets parallel to the ground, the club head is behind the hands. I see that every day. Every single day it shows up in my studio. And just about every day for the last 25 years, club head gets behind the hands early. And then from there on the downswing, what do? They come over the top. What goes in must come out and they come over it. And some take it back. I understand there is variability to this. Some are more inside than others. And there's some leeway. There's a threshold. There's a corridor of success. But you see the inside takeaway, and then from there, as a result, they come over the top. They come down steep. And as they come over the top, your higher handicaps, what they do is they come over the top. They rotate hard to the left because they've been told to rotate. They've been told to stay down, and they rotate hard. And the club really exits left. You see the chicken wing. You see some pulls. You see some wipes, really weak fades to the right. You see a lot of toed shots. You see a gross divot. That's your higher handicaps. That's how they kind of manage that. Now, a better player that has that pattern, you'll see them manage it this way. They take it inside. And then when they come over the top steep, what they do at impact, they put the brakes on, their pelvis comes in, they early extend, they raise the handle. And as a result, the path moves more to the right and they can actually hit a higher quality shot. You tend to get it off the toe, more towards the center of the face. The hosel does come into play a little bit more when you do that. But the strike does improve. I think the starting direction does improve. There's less curve. Some can even draw it. And so that's what maybe a mid to lower handicap will do when they have that pattern. But nonetheless, I get a lot of students that show up and they get into the studio and they look me in the face and they say, I am here because I have plateaued. I have gotten worse, right? It's one of those two. I've never come and never had a new student come in and say, Travis, I am getting so much better over the last year. I would like for you to help me slow that down. So they show up for a reason. They've played golf many years. They show up for a reason. They've plateaued or they've gotten worse, and this is their pattern. Now, has there been many good players over the last 40 to 50 years that had an inside takeaway and came down indeed a little over the top? Yes, there has. They're out there. Nancy Lopez, Raymond Floyd. I see a Craig Stadler picture out there as of late. There are those exceptions. Phil Mickelson was steep coming down. It's out there. It's out there right now. For every one of those, there's probably 250 the other way, where the club doesn't go inside. In fact, it goes a little bit more out in front. It goes more up the top side of the plane. And then on the downswing, what does the shaft do? It shallows out a little bit. Now, there is variability to that. Some take it more outside than others. Some shallow it more than others. But for the most part, that's what you see. That was what you have seen. Not all, but most. And so, look, yeah, perhaps there are pros and cons to both. But at the end of the day, you can find an example of any pattern. You can find examples of the club face wide open at the top, Corey Pavin, and play at a high level. You can find examples of the club face dead shut at the top, Dustin Johnson, and play at a high level. You can find an inside takeaway and play it at a high level, Raymond Floyd. You can find people who take it way outside, Matthew Wolf, and play at a high level. You can find very vertical left arms that play at a high level, Jim Furyk. You can find very flat left arms at the top that play at a high level, Matt Kuchar. I mean, it's on and on and on. You can find these examples. And the Hall of Fame is littered with them. And so the question becomes, based on that, based on the positioning that I see from a lot of teachers that post these pictures, these videos, and say, see, this guy can do that and win. This guy can do it and win at the PGA Tour and win a major championship. For all of those out there that like to shallow it, see this? He takes it inside and steepens it a little bit. I don't know where that gets us. You know, I really don't. I don't know where, as an industry, where that gets us. I think from a teacher standpoint, for me, the way that I look at it is I try to let myself go there and understand those patterns and be able to work with those patterns when I need to, right? If Raymond Floyd shows up in my studio at the age of 28 with that pattern, am I going to change it when he's one of the best players in the world? I'm probably not, right? I'm going to work with that. Super high skill set. Craig Stadler, I'm probably not. Nancy Lopez, I'm probably not. Phil Mickelson, I'm probably not. But a 15 handicap, a 20 handicap shows up with that pattern. Plays once a week, has a family, doesn't work on it that much. What are we sending to them, that message? Are we saying to that student, because these best players in the world, because they've had success doing it, let's just go ahead and keep doing it. And let's see if we can get to that level. Is that what we want? Is that what we're positioning? And so that's always the question I ask myself. I ask other teachers, when do you change it? When do you just say, hey, this isn't working because it doesn't work for most and it stumps growth for most, in my opinion. But because a handful of top players do it, you should just probably go ahead and keep doing it. And let's see if we can kind of work through that a little bit, maybe work on impact and those kinds of things that you're doing to maybe compensate to some degree. See if we can clean up some of those things and just do the very best that we can. Even though that you just showed up into my studio and have paid $225 for a lesson, I'm just going to stand here and cheerlead based off of this inside over the top takeaway, because there's a handful of players that do it. We're just going to go ahead and keep doing it. And I just want you to keep doing it because they do it. I mean, like, where does that conversation go? So you got to hang your hat on something, right? I mean, you got to hang your hat on something. And where I get frustrated, and maybe what's driven this podcast today a little bit, I'm going to get into some of the reasons why I gravitate the way that I do. But I get frustrated when I just see post after post after post that just, you know, says, hey, look, here's a particular pattern. This player did it at a high level. Okay, great. Go knock yourself out. Go teach that pattern. And then in the next one, it's this pattern. And then it's this pattern. And then it's this pattern. Okay, great. But what does that mean? You know, I mean, what does that mean? Okay, if you're working with professional golfers all day, I get it. You're going to work around and be able to navigate and deal with different patterns. I think that's really important if that's the business model and that's where you are. But I think when you're developing amateurs, it's a different conversation. It's a different conversation because those amateurs are showing up with those patterns and they're plateaued and they're getting worse and they're losing distance. And so you got to do something, right? You've got to be able to fix the common flaws. You got to be able to fix the common patterns.
If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com.
And so that leads me to my experiences with fixing this pattern over and over again. I've been fortunate enough to build a really cool studio here in Ponte Vedra, and it's been awesome. You know, it really has been, and the response has been fun, and I'm as busy as I've been teaching, and we've got a great after-school program, True Specs in their club fitting, my partner in Lab Golf, and their putters, as you know, are just, as I've been, you know, preaching on here for 2 years, are just fantastic. We had a huge event last night in the studio with a company, 15 employees, customer. I mean, just fun, awesome stuff. And so I'm very fortunate to have a studio in a great spot in Ponte Vedra and doing well. And my lesson book is as busy as it's been in a long time. And one of the reasons that I think I've been able to afford this studio and been able to have some success is to be able to fix this pattern and to be able to elevate the ceiling of the amateur golfer because of, as I shape this pattern differently, it allows them to hit the center of the face more. It allows them to hit a longer iron. It allows them to hit their driver better, three wood, longer, straighter. It elevates the ceiling and improves the skill set. I've seen it over and over and over again. And I believe in my heart with amateurs, if I just let it go and I just say, hey, just keep sucking it inside and coming over the top. Like, hey, let's work around that. Like, I'm not able to develop that player at the amateur level as much as if I didn't change it. So as I said before, what I see over and over again is the club head gets inside. Now sometimes the club head gets behind the hands and the face opens in conjunction with that. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it stays square. Sometimes it closes. If you take the club head inside behind the hands and you open the face, good luck. That's all I got to say. And in my opinion, if you show up and you're a mid handicap and you're a high handicap and you're taking lessons and that's not being addressed, run. Now, if you take the club head inside behind the hands and the face is square or maybe even a little shut, all right, a little different. Okay. We'll keep the conversation. Let's see a little bit more of the picture here. But I see an inside takeaway. Here is the reaction that I see. Number one, the body quits turning because the club heads behind you so early, the body doesn't turn. It doesn't turn to its full capability. We tend to get cut off with the turn. In fact, sometimes we sway, right? The hip sways. And as the hip sways, sometimes the spine starts to take on a little bit of reverse spine angle. So we get into body faults. I also see the left arm get very upright. Clubhead gets behind in, body doesn't turn, left arm goes straight upright. So we don't get a lot of depth in the left arm. And all these things, then inevitably, what do we do on the downswing? What goes in, then has to come out. And as we come out and we come over the top, the shaft oftentimes steepens. Not always. Not always. Most of the time, the shaft's going to steepen. We don't have much weight shift. Club comes down in impact. We stay down in flexion. And we just wipe across it to the left. That's the high handicap. They wipe across it to the left. Oftentimes a big divot. Lots of pulls. Lots of wipes. Lots of clankers off the toe. Depending upon the club face angle, can vary how much that ball is going to curve. But I see it over and over again. I've seen it, a million times. The better player inside, over the top, as I mentioned, they won't just rotate and stay down aggressively. What they'll do is they'll actually stop turning, early extend, the pivot will move towards the ball, and so many feel this, high handle, and they manage the path and the face better. Usually that's a little better player, and they can hit longer clubs better. Even better player yet will take the club head inside, and then when they bring it down, they'll keep it inside. Right? And usually that player, the club face is a bit more square to close. They kind of let the club head come in. It's usually not a lot in, but they'll keep it, and then they'll kind of keep it in behind them, and the path will drive a little bit more out to the right, and they'll hit a lot of push draws, and that oftentimes can really get down to a low single digit. That's an easy fix. But nonetheless, this player shows up into my studio, and they have had enough. So you got to change it. Right? So you got to change it. And so what I do is I get in there and I start shaping that club head differently. I start getting that club head to work more up. I think the upward dimension or direction of the club head is the most overlooked. Got to get the club head working a little bit more up, a little more up and out in front of you. Now with that, that doesn't mean you shove your hands out there. Oftentimes, when a player tries to keep the club head a little bit more out in front of them and not sucked in behind them, they will move their hands away. Their left arm will come off their chest. In fact, what you want to do is you want to turn, right? The torso is going to turn, keep the left arm attached, let the hand path come in. Let the hand path come more in. Hand path comes inside, club head working a little bit more out and up. So dynamic and different for so many. But when you get it down, you manage the club face, keep the face square. When you start to clean that up, you know what you can do from there? You know what you can do when the club head starts to work a little bit more up the top side of the plane? You can turn. Now you can start to turn. You can start to get a little bit more out of your right hip. Start getting that right hip to work a little bit more up and back. Start getting a little more of a change of knee flex, which I like. Your left arm can start working a little bit more around you. And so this pattern starts to change. And as it starts to change, things start to clean up. And you know what happens from there? You start to incentivize them to swing back down a little bit more from the inside. And as they start doing that, now the ball flight's a little bit straighter. They start to get a little bit more shaft lean. The driver starts to become a little bit more realistic and speed starts to increase. These boxes start to get checked. Boxes that were kind of fading away, especially for those that are getting older. All right. I've seen this so many times. Okay. Older gentleman comes in. Inside takeaway. Club gets behind the hands early. The swing, first thing they say to me, when I show them on video. First thing they say to me is, wow, that's the end of my backswing? That's as far as I've taken it back? The swing gets shorter because they don't turn. They can't turn. It's behind them. They stay down in flexion. There's no hip turn, change of knee flex. Their spine doesn't extend. And pretty soon, the swing just erodes. I call it the old band syndrome in golf. It just, the swing just erodes. There's no potential energy. And then they're trying to jump at it on the downswing, and they're just trying to do the best they can with the cards they're dealt in the backswing. So the probability of impact is so eroded. I mean, they got very little hope. And so as I show them that, I show them, look, let's get the club a little more here. And then from there, now I can show you how to turn. I can show you how to be a little bit more dynamic with your turn. Show you how to get a little deeper in your right hip, change of knee flex, show you how to extend your spine and all those things. And as they start doing that, they're like, wow. Wow. Look at how much longer my swing has gotten. And so when I say to people all the time, I lengthen out more swings than I shorten. The reason for that is because so often I'm fixing the inside takeaway. You've got to hang your hat on something, I think, as a teacher. You've got to have some kind of voice. I don't think that voice, and I don't think that message is for everybody. I don't think it's for everybody. I don't think this message and what I'm talking about is for every single professional golfer. I don't. But I think it's for the masses of amateurs. So I think it's for the masses of amateurs. And that's why I get frustrated when I see on social media the examples, which I fully appreciate and understand and push myself as a teacher to understand those patterns, work with those patterns, marinate those patterns, get the most out of those patterns at the appropriate time. But that message is not for everybody. It's not. It's just not. And if you want to just throw stones and say, look, he does it. Look here. See, he does it. Look, I don't think it's doing any good. I don't. I think those conversations are for teachers. And I think it's for that understanding and working with that and really in enhancing your ability to teach and understand different patterns and matchups and things like that. I think for sure. But for the masses and amateurs who play once a week, once every other week, and they have these common flaws, and this one in particular we're talking about is when the club head gets in behind the hands early, and then from there they come over the top, shaft steepens, and then they have to accommodate that, and let's just say call it matchups to that. You're doing a disservice for most if you just let that go because Craig Stadler did it. So we've got to be careful. And I think as I continue to teach and I work on these patterns and I continue to develop them, I mean, I really feel like this is, you know, this is my place in this industry. This is what I'm good at. I'm not good at everything in this industry. I have opportunities to improve in so many areas, but where I become very efficient is fixing specific patterns for amateurs and developing them. And one of those patterns is what we're talking about here today on the podcast. So let's go back to a couple of the students that I've had this week. One of them, older gentleman, inside takeaway, clubhead gets behind, no turn, hands barely got up to the right shoulder. He comes down a little over the top, hit it pretty straight. Didn't create a lot of speed. His reason for being there was he hits it on the toe a lot and he's lost a lot of speed. And his thoughts to me were, look, I know I'm getting older and I'm losing speed. Maybe that's just what it is. And I show him the pattern and I said, do you have any limitations? And he had, a couple little things here and there. And his concern was, gosh, I'm not sure if I can turn. And so I said, look, let's clean up this first move. Let's get the club a little more on plane early. And then let me show you how to turn. And once I got the club head a little bit more in front of him, he started to understand, okay, I got to get now this around me, right? Like it's out, the club head's working a little bit more up the top side of the plane. It's a little more in front of me. Now I got to get it around me. Okay, now I got to turn. How do I do that? So I started to show him. And all of a sudden, the swing starts lengthening out. He starts to get a little more confidence and courage, and he starts lengthening out this swing the right way, given the context of the first move. And then I'm showing him a video. He's like, I haven't taken the club like that in 30 years. His swing just continued to erode because the club had got in behind him, and he's just trying to, you know, manage it. Old man syndrome. And so off we go with him. He started hitting better. You know what he started to do right at the end of the lesson? He started the first like 30, 40 minutes. He was right on plan early. He started to really turn. Took us like 20, 25 minutes to really get him to understand the turn, understand how the lead arm can work around him now. And then right towards the end, he was like, you know what? I feel like I have room on the downswing to bring it back down a little underneath and feel like I hit it a little more towards the second baseman. And it was just beautiful. He hit it right on the center of the face. The ball started 3 yards right, had a baby draw, about another, 9 yards of carry. I mean, it was just awesome. The other guy, okay, the other guy came in, and he was a little better player, and he said to me, look, I early extend. And I said, okay. And I said, what do you mean by early extension? What does that mean to you? And he's like, well, I feel myself, my pelvis coming in, and I feel myself standing up, and, you know, and I'll occasionally hit it towards the hosel. Okay. And so I show him, and it's a pretty dramatic inside. I mean, it's underneath. Under, gotta come over, right? So here he comes. He comes over it. Club just, you know, it's not like crazy over, but it's over. And then as he puts the brakes on and he stands up, and look, he was, you know, he was managing it pretty darn good. Hosel in play. Really couldn't, really struggled. He really struggled with the driver. And so we had the conversation about, look, you know, this, the idea of not extending and starting to facilitate more rotation. He's like, gosh, I really like, he watches videos. And he's like, I really like to be here, you know, and rotate and feel my left hip pushing back and, you know, the right foot, maybe I'm more on the instep and not launching and all these things, feeling the left glute. And so we had the conversation, look, you're in and then you're over and the shaft's kind of vertical. And like, then you gotta reverse engineer it at impact. You're kicking it out late. And so we worked really hard on kind of changing the first move. And he was a player who, when he went inside, the shaft was very horizontal. Like he rotated the shaft, got it, you know, kind of laid off, and then it got vertical and over the top. So, you know, we had to really work on the first move. The club had definitely more out in front of him, but his hand path much more kind of inside, and the shaft felt very vertical to him. And the reference that he made to me was Matthew Wolf. Feels like Matthew Wolf. And it's amazing how many have to feel kind of more like Matthew Wolf, like the hand path in, club head a little more out and up. Now, of course, Matthew's got the shaft like tipped over. I mean, you know, that's an exaggeration. They feel like that. They don't look anything like that, but they kind of feel that way. And then I tell him, like, okay, what are you going to do from there? He's like, well, the shaft, the club's got to go back behind me. I was like, exactly. And so it was unbelievable. I made his grip a little stronger. Got his grip a little stronger. Got the hand path more in. Got the shaft kind of, you know, a little more vertical. He started turning better. And then in the change of direction, you could see the shaft start to pitch back. And then, you know, towards the end of the lesson, I was like, okay, if this is kind of what we're doing, now we can, you know, now you can start to rotate. You know, now you can start to rotate and not clank it on the toe. Or you know, hit it on the hosel, you can start to turn. The club's going to turn the corner. Hand's going to return, you know, a little lower and closer to you. And the center of the face is going to be a little more exposed. So, you know, like the picture, you could see the picture started to evolve as he changed the backswing dynamic, which then kind of changed the downswing dynamic, which then kind of facilitate rotation. And I'll finish with this. And I know I'm kind of, you know, moving on here a little bit, but this is an important thing. And I think, you know, the message that I have to it, I have so many, there's a lot of teachers that listen to this, and there's conversations to be had, I think, in groups as a teacher understanding different patterns and matchups and those types of things. There's no doubt. It's going to make you a better teacher. But there's also a service to fixing the common mistakes in amateur golf and what that suggests in the way of improving skill set, improving the probability of impact. And this inside takeaway, this club head behind the hands early, is just all day, every day I see. And people come in my studio and they're like, I'm done. I'm plateaued. What do I need to do? And oftentimes the conversation starts right there. And as you start fixing, it really does, in my opinion, start to clean up a lot of things. But you know what it also starts to facilitate as you change this pattern and promote? It promotes rotation. It promotes a better turn, a better windup in the backswing. And then as the shaft is more on plan going back, and then the shaft kind of shallows a bit coming down. It doesn't have to be a huge shallow. No one's saying it's got to be this big, dynamic, crazy shallow. No one's saying that. It's just saying that the shaft's going to pitch maybe back toward a bit horizontally, work maybe just to what feels like a bit more underneath where it went back. You know what that promotes coming down? Rotation. It promotes rotation. It allows you to open up. It also allows you to be more dynamic with your spine. It allows you to lengthen out your swing. It allows you to, you know, kind of maximize your club head speed, especially as you get older. So enough with just throwing stones and saying, look, this person did it. He won 5 times in the PGA Tour. I think it sends the wrong message. I think you got to have a voice. You got to hang your hat on something, but you also got to be willing to understand different patterns. I get that. But for me, I will go to the grave. I will go to the grave fixing this pattern for most amateur golfers. All right, that's enough. Thank you for being here. Stripe Show Podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanksgiving is near. Christmas. Happy holidays. I appreciate your support. We'll see you next week.